This episode is brought to you by Smoothie King, the musician, not the smoothie place. You are listening to Questionable Material with Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. This episode, Curious George in Vietnam, an elf with secrets, and money for you.
Just tell me when you're rolling.
I just told you I'm rolling.
Yeah, no, I don't have time for your games. Let's just record this podcast.
And be I'm done seriously with it. Rolling. I've been rolling for
it's
now.
A classic Brian bit.
Nope, I've been rolling for now 12 seconds.
Well, that would be an awful thing to release. Why would you start recording when we're just saying all this nonsense?
Because, Deck, I can edit it. I can go back and I can take out the not funny beginning and move things forward.
The technology's not there for that. What are you talking about? Jack, this isn't Doctor Who.
I have an editing program, Jack. This isn't science fiction. This is reality.
Wait a minute. So you've edited the podcast? Though, because the raw material is gold. Everything we say.
Jack, there are moments when we say things that are not funny, and those don't make it.
Don't yuck my yum.
Don't yuck my yum?
Yeah.
That's not an expression.
Yeah, it is.
No, it isn't.
It is. Don't you edit this out because you're going to be made a fool.
Don't yuck my yum.
Don't yuck my yum.
That's a legitimate expression?
Yeah.
That's something somebody says.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't even know about this world juicer guy who just died.
Who's the world juicer? I know Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch guy died.
Yeah, he died, but so did Juice World.
Oh, yeah. No, but he's a rap superstar, Juice World.
It's like weird. Didn't spell world right. I don't understand.
How did he spell it?
W-R-L-D.
Well, that just saves time.
It just drives me nuts because it's like Suge Knight. S-U-G-E is Suge.
Yeah.
It's not Suge.
Well, you should talk, Brian, B-R-X-Y-Z-N.
Touche, Jack.
What a jerk. How are you, Brian?
I'm great.
We should start hit record so we can start recording.
I've been recording now for 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
That makes no sense. None of this is usable.
No, it isn't. I'm gonna delete all of this.
All right. So let's start being good now.
Okay.
Tell an engaging story from your life. There are very few stories that you have anymore that I have not heard. And there are very few, like I know all of your friends. Like when you just tell a story about one of your friends, you don't even have to explain who they are anymore. I just know your friends.
Did I tell you the Austrian bordello story?
No.
Okay, then.
Let's hear that.
There are stories you don't know.
Okay, I want to hear that.
So the year, Jack, was 1990.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing that little backpacking by yourself through Europe thing on the Ural Pass.
That's a dream come true to actually do something like that.
And at some point I was in Vienna. I was staying at a youth hostel, and I wanted to go make a phone call. Now, for all the youngins back in the day, making an international phone call was a giant pain in the bum.
It sure was.
So I told the guy at the hostel, I was like, I'd like to call home. And he goes, well, you know, there's a call center. You have to go down this Strasse and then turn right at this Strasse and then go down this Strasse. Mm-hmm. And I was like, great. It's dusk and I'm making my way to the phone center. And then I'm walking through down the street and it's kind of a shady street. And I see this woman approaches me, starts speaking to me in German. And I tell her, you know, nein, sprechen Sie Deutsch. And she goes, oh, you know, do you speak English? I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, and then she basically is a prostitute.
Oh.
And I said, well, I'm actually just looking for the call center. I kind of talked to her briefly and I was like, okay, I got to go make my phone call. So I get to the call center. It's closed. Can't call home. So I'm walking back to the hostel and I see her again.
Yeah.
And she's like, did you make your phone call? And I was like, no, it was closed. And she goes, come with me. And I'm like, ah. And so she brings me to the bordello.
And oh my gosh, this is actually really exciting. So have you graduated college?
I just graduated college.
So you're 21, 21. 22.
Yeah. I was on the younger side. So 21. Mature level 13, but 21.
Yeah, physically. Yeah, yeah.
And so she brings me into the bordello.
No way.
Speaks to the guy. There's a bar there and the, you know, guys lounging about and talking with the girls and everything.
So it's a mixture of prostitutes
and Johns.
And Johns.
Yeah. Or Jans, I guess, in Germany.
Yeah.
Or Austria. And she says something to the guy and the guy comes over with the phone and he goes very quickly. And I'm like, okay. And I show him the number. He dials the number for me. I call my father. I'm like, Dad, you won't believe where I'm calling you from.
That's amazing.
And I was like, I'm in a whorehouse and just want to let you know everything's okay. I'm fine. I'm in Vienna and I'll be going. I'm going to probably hop the train soon and go to Czechoslovakia,
right.
which existed at the time.
It did.
And that was it. That's my calling dad from a whorehouse story.
That's a good one. We all have one, but what, and there was no, did you discuss price?
No. Of the phone call or of the lady?
No, of the lady.
No, I did not. Traveling on a budget, you really can't afford the Vienna hooker.
Interesting.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
They didn't take American Express traveler's checks.
There are two things that we seem to sort of fall into a lot in this podcast.
Poo-poo.
Poo-poo would be third.
Third, okay.
To me, it's Muppets and prostitutes.
Muppets and prostitutes. It's true, isn't it?
It is. Somehow we need to branch out. And we actually have edited. We had a big prostitution discussion two episodes ago that we cut out. That was on the editing room floor.
The proverbial cutting room floor.
Yep. How much was it for half an hour on the cutting room floor with that lady?
$350.
Not bad. Have you ever gotten into a car accident?
Yes.
What was the circumstance of the accident?
Which one?
Oh God.
I had a rear end collision. A guardrail hit me once.
A guardrail came out of nowhere and hit you?
Hit the side of my car. Could not believe it. Rear ended someone, hit a deer.
Yeah, I've hit a deer.
That's pretty brutal. Oh, I fell asleep and went off the road.
You fell asleep and went off the road?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was driving back home. This was when I lived in Massachusetts. And it was late at night, and I was tired.
Sure.
And when Brian's tired, Brian goes to sleep, is what I learned.
Yeah.
And fell asleep, went off the side of the road in the median of the highway, which is Route 3.
Yep.
Went sliding down in the snowbank. And so basically kind of came to as I was sliding down the snowbank. And the best part is, Mass State Police, who I'm not super fond of.
No, I know you're not.
Tend to be a little corrupt. I'm standing there. He goes, I got good news and bad news. Mm-hmm. Okay. He goes, the good news is I'm not going to give you a ticket for falling asleep and going off the road. I was like, thank you. He's like, the bad news is there was a warrant for your arrest.
What?
And I'm sorry. I was like, that's pretty much my reaction. I said, huh? And he goes, you have a ticket that you never took care of. And so the ticket I never took care of traces back to a nasty incident with a Massachusetts state trooper.
Wow.
So this is what happened. It was my prom night with my girlfriend. We're driving down there, coming back, totally sober, never had a drink prom night.
Sure.
I'm with my girlfriend at the time. You could always tell the Massachusetts State Police, they had these Crown Victoria LTDs.
Okay.
And they had these square headlights and rectangular headlights.
Yeah.
You could always tell when they were behind you, when they were coming.
Sure.
So I see this guy flying down the road.
Yep.
So, and then he comes, I'm in the left lane. He gets right behind me. He's riding my butt. And so I signal, I get into the middle lane. He swings right behind me, rides my ass. And now I'm starting to get worried. So I signal and I get into the right lane.
Yep.
He swings right behind me. And I'm like, what? You know, like, what's going on? And so now I'm just terrified, right?
Yep.
And I'm doing that, you know, white knuckles. I'm going exactly 55 miles an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't think. I'm just looking in the rearview mirror, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then he lights me up.
Oh.
Pulls me over. License registration. And I'm like, can I ask what I did? He's like, you were weaving. I said, I wasn't weaving. I moved over because you were tailgating me. Are you saying I can't drive? I mean, that just saying,
oh,
suggesting
wow.
that he was tailgating me pissed him off. So he rants at me. And then I said, if I was weaving, it's because I kissed my girlfriend. I don't know why I said that. That's just filed under dumb things people say to the police. Right. So he takes my license registration, comes back with a ticket. Failure to stay within marked lanes, quote unquote, kissing passenger. Just a dick move, right?
Yep.
So I go home to my father, who had been a cop in New York back in the day. And I'm very upset because I hadn't done anything wrong. I knew I was innocent. I hadn't been drinking. I was doing all the good things prom night. And I give it to my dad and I'm showing him. He's just like, I'll take care of it. I have a friend in the state police. Don't worry about it. I gave him the ticket. He gave the ticket to his friend in the state police who didn't do crap with it. So
wow.
A year later, when I fall asleep and go off the road, I get busted for this, unaddressed ticket from a year earlier.
And does he arrest you?
He arrested me.
Handcuffs, back of his car.
I was cuffed and put in the back of the car.
Wow.
And I was brought to the Massachusetts State Police Station, wherever.
How many years did you serve?
17.
No
kidding.
Couldn't
believe it. Kissing passenger. Yeah, I remember, they put me in this cell. I'm just sitting there and it's just like, I want to make my phone call, but nobody's coming to me. They're just sitting there. I saw that there was a camera. So I keep gesturing, phone call.
Yeah.
Nobody comes to me for, hours. And then they come out. I call my father. I'm like, Dad, And I, you know, the good thing is, you know, I've been arrested, I'm in jail, but it's all his fault
because
his,
great.
You know, his friend didn't take care of the ticket like he had said he was, you know, that kind of. So I call him like, yeah, your friend, you know, never addressed the ticket, so I'm in jail tonight, and I'm supposed to go to college the next day.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was supposed to return. It was like a winter break.
How did you escape from jail? Was it like an Epstein thing?
I killed four of them.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And yeah. Because they're very mean, but they're super weak. They have brittle brain, brittle skulls. Like they crack. Like you just smack them.
Didn't you tell me once that you framed Whitey Bulger for those?
I did. Yeah.
No
I put
kidding.
That all on Whitey.
Wow. Yeah. So actually, he, you know, while he may have robbed some people, he actually shouldn't have been in as much trouble because you set him up for most of that stuff.
I set Whitey up.
Wow.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about that?
Pretty good.
I would too.
He's a bad dude. Why I love them.
Some of your other accidents, though, you told me once that you were obviously for a while you were a dirigible pilot.
Yeah, we call them blimps.
Okay.
Dirigible is just a snobby word that only the upper crust uses.
Anyway, okay, so you're a blimp driver.
That's right. I used to drive a blimp.
Or fly a blimp, whatever you
say. We say drive a blimp in the blimp business.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat. So what but you had like an epic crash, you said.
Yeah.
Were you kissing another passenger? I mean, like what happened?
No, my German was terrible and I was flying the Hindenburg. And so when he was saying, don't run into that tower.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't know what he was saying. Uh-huh. To me, it's just, you just see a German guy shouting and it's just like, what have I done?
Right.
And so that ended poorly.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. What they said.
And you once crashed the Staten Island Ferry. Do I remember that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Uh-huh. I got confused. Like, oh, does this make the boat go faster?
Well, because you weren't licensed at all.
No.
What happened? Oh, go ahead.
I wasn't licensed or trained, but I wanted to help.
Uh-huh.
I like to get people where they're going. I wanted to bring them back and forth across the water.
What happened to the captain of that boat?
He catapulted through the bridge window.
why was he not manning his boat?
Because he was very stunned.
By a passenger running up and taking the wheel?
Pretty much. Yeah, he hadn't anticipated that. And that's what he kept screaming.
Well, why did he try to wrest control back?
I don't know. He was just very like, I hadn't anticipated this.
I mean, and most of those guys are drunk.
Yeah. So it's a high pressure job.
It really is.
You got to go that way and then turn around and go that way.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and go that way.
Right.
And then you turn around and go that way.
And then at that point, is it like, are you going that way or that way? And then
you
it's
get
like,
confused. Yeah. Like, I need a whiskey.
I need some. Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just screaming, stunning. He went flying through the window.
Yeah, I hadn't anticipated this. And then, yeah, he went flying through the bridge window.
It's really unglamorous last words. He seems really weak to me.
Yeah, well, there was a lot about him that was weak because, I mean, I've never seen somebody snap in half so easily.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like effortless. It was just bent in two. It's crazy.
That's really weird.
Yeah, sad too.
And you...
Because his kids were there because he was about to retire.
No way.
Yeah. It was like he was retiring the next day. His kids were there for basically his last ride.
Oh my gosh.
And so the whole family was there. It was
really
a big event. They had a photographer who was so stunned. He just kept taking pictures. Like he hit the shutter button and we have all the pictures like of the captain going through the bridge window. Like it's almost like stop motion.
I've seen those. That's the 9-part series on your wall.
Yeah. I like to remember it. It's a way to think back to, you know, how I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. So that's the lesson you took.
Well, and I know I wouldn't do it. If you asked me, would I jump on the Staten Island Ferry and just put it full force into a dock? No, I won't. I won't do that.
But were you aware that this was his special day? His last voyage when you jumped in and took control?
Yeah. Well, it said goodbye, Larry.
Uh-huh.
Which of course is what makes the pictures extra.
So ironic.
Yeah.
What happened? That's, oh man, it breaks my heart.
Yeah. It broke his heart too.
Yeah.
I mean, you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Just when you're split in half, I guess your heart would break.
Yeah, no, it's just the location is everything. Just like a restaurant.
It's just like a restaurant. What happened with his family on board with you? I mean, like are they okay? Were they in the driving area? I don't know what that's called.
The bridge.
The bridge. Sorry.
Yeah, they're all in the bridge.
Okay.
They had, stunned looks is the best I can describe it. Because it's like, you know, this isn't happening, right? Like that kind of look.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, this is happening. I don't know why I said that, but I just turned to them and I was like, this is happening. This is all real. And they, you know, it was hard for them to process.
I bet. I mean, especially after their dad and husband went soaring through.
Yeah.
Saying, I did not see this coming. Was that his last words?
I had not anticipated this. Yeah.
Such a formal way of saying it.
Yeah. And he got it out. So it was very, you know, you understood every word. I think a lot of people, especially as the bridge glass was like severing arteries and things, you would probably slip up and be like, or something. But yeah. he got it all out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeepers.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm sorry. When I get sad, sometimes it sounds like chuckling. It's just so tragic. It's really upsetting to me. And you turned around and let his family know that this is indeed happening.
Yeah. Cause you know, I think they thought they were dreaming or like, this is some kind of weird night.
So you wanted to snap them out of the
dream. Yeah. I was like, this is totally real. I can pinch you if you need me to.
Okay.
Yeah. That kind of thing.
So what was the interaction like for the next, you know, couple minutes after the crash when
I didn't stick around? Cause I felt like, you know, I felt bad for them. Uh-huh. And, you know, and I knew if I stuck around, you know, they might vent on me. Uh-huh. And I didn't think that would be fair to me. So I just kind of excused myself. And then I kind of blended in with all the other passengers who were fleeing the boat.
Uh-huh. And wow.
Yeah.
Now, how many people in total died from the Staten Island Ferry incident?
Would you include somebody who drank themselves to death over the course of 5 years?
Ah, boy, that's, you know, that's always the question, isn't it? Yeah, I think I would.
19.
Okay.
22.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I forgot. There was a bunch of them.
Sure. You know, they would have made excellent Massachusetts state troopers.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this because...
Oh, here we go. I see the look.
What?
I can tell you're about to spring something on me.
No, spring something on you. What? This is something you've clearly done and can answer for.
Okay, then.
This isn't something that you're hearing for the first time now and have to just improvise.
Uh-huh.
This is something that you know a lot about. It's going to be easy to talk about.
Hit me.
Okay. So, you know how you have that series of children's books?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and I was just wondering if... you know, we might have some last minute holiday shoppers.
Sure.
Who are shopping for kids.
Yeah.
And they're not going to know which of your books to get for their kids for Christmas or whatever other nonsensical holiday they follow.
Correct.
So I was wondering if you could just talk through some of your famous children's books.
Sure.
To let them know which one might be right for their child and their child's tastes.
Okay.
Okay. So, do you mind if I just go by title and you just sort of explain what the book's about?
So you tell me the title and I tell you what the book's about.
Yeah, of the book you already wrote.
That I definitely wrote.
And, yeah, the children's book.
Sure.
Okay, so there's the first one. I don't know how you got the rights to this, but Curious George gets captured.
Yes.
What happens to George?
Well, Curious George gets captured. This was set in Vietnam. And what happened was the Viet Cong had built a series of tunnels underneath, underground, especially near Cu Chi. And we needed to infiltrate it.
Oh.
To kill the Viet Cong.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the soldiers, you know, psychologically, it's very difficult to climb into these tunnels and crawl in the dark.
Oh, I bet.
Horrifying. So obviously a monkey is more suitable for that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So in this, Curious George gets captured. He infiltrates the tunnels of Cu Chi. And unfortunately, he triggers a booby trap.
Oh, no. Did it end with his capture or did you see him then in his, like what happened?
Well, it doesn't really say. So the end of the book is just, there's a black flag with a monkey on it that says MMIA for monkey missing in action.
No, we knew what it stood for.
And I kind of leave it open-ended for the kids to kind of figure out, well, I mean, was he captured? Was he killed?
Right.
Do you, you know, I wanted the kids to work that out on their own.
Yeah.
Cause I thought that would be a nice activity for them.
Oh, sort of like the back of a book where it's like, you know, find the five things that are like, it's identical pictures, except five of the things are like slightly different.
Right.
Like it's, he's holding a popsicle and then it's an ice cream cone in the other picture. And you have,
right.
So it's like just a fun activity for the kids.
Yeah. Did he make it back?
Right.
Yeah.
Now you told me once that you were writing a semi sequel where it's just the man in the yellow hat trying to like move on with his life.
Yeah.
Did that ever get completed?
I didn't know where to go with it. He was obviously traumatized by George not coming back. He obsessed about it for a long period of time. So there was a series of books, but really it got boring because all he was doing was going around putting up posters saying, "Have you seen this monkey?"
Okay.
By the fourth book, you know, people were like, "No," and stop putting up posters.
Oh, well, yeah.
That seems, and you know, at that point, he had been fired. Yeah, he was unemployed. He had developed a little drinking problem.
And it's true that you gave them like a sort of a weird sexual backstory, the two of them. Yeah. The weird sexual backstory that you gave George and the man with the yellow hat.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, he was species fluid. So, you know, he was pansexual and all the other words. And, so, you know, it was a consenting relationship between the man in the yellow hat and a childlike monkey, which is a little creepy to a lot of people and a lot creepy to a little people.
You know, here's a book. Seems so open-ended. The Friendship Gang.
The Friendship Gang.
Yeah. What? I mean, that seems so positive. Like already I want to go on to Amazon and buy this book. So seal the deal. Tell me about it.
Well, it's Friendship Gang. It's about kids working together, you know, kids from different backgrounds.
Oh, nice.
Who, you know, they're from different corners of life, different cultures, but basically working together to rob a bank.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's an interesting messaging.
You have like the geeky kid, you have the really smart kid, you have the jockey kid, you have the kid from the broken home, you have the kid from the well-to-do family, you have this whole mix. And
everybody,
you
know, working together.
They're different in many ways, but they can unite and kind of take it, each one of them has different skills and things to bring to the table. Mm-hmm. Like Mickey is a very good getaway driver, but he's not very smart and he wouldn't know how to really plan getting into the bank. Whereas like Ricardo and her name was Allie, they're both intelligent and Allie's actually very thin. So she can get through vents and things and climb and disarm things. Like she's got a good technical sense. Mm-hmm. And so like it just shows that kids can be very different, but work together for the same goal.
How does how does the heist go? The bank robbery go?
The bank robbery goes, well, they break into the vault. Mm-hmm. They get a bunch of gems. They get a bunch of safety deposit boxes, lots of money, gold bars, things like that. But one of the safety deposit boxes contained a lab specimen of an incredibly deadly toxin that was incredibly contagious.
Oh.
So they accidentally unleash a worldwide contagion that has a phenomenal death toll. And the lesson there is, you know, you can work together, you can plan on things and get results, but you got to be careful because every once in a while, you know, mistakes happen, things you didn't anticipate. They didn't think there would be a deadly pathogen in a safety deposit box. They thought there'd be money, gold, diamonds, things like that, as there were. But like, you know, like the book wants to tell you, just be careful.
Man.
Yeah.
There's so many lessons in that book that I want my kids to learn.
Yeah. I think they would like it.
A few that I don't want, but there are a few that many that are, that's great.
Yeah.
The Friendship Gang. Okay. And, what do they all survive the contagion?
Nope.
What happened?
Well, that was the other part of the book. I wanted to show that people from different cultures and backgrounds and worldviews can all die painful deaths, but together and kind of in the sort of harmony.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of suffering, but at the same time, they were glad that they had each other to die with.
How do they die?
The pathogen basically shuts down your lungs very, very slowly. So they basically suffocated.
Jeepers.
Except for Juanita, who her organs basically liquefied.
Oh my gosh.
And the idea behind that was to show that not all kids will die in the same manner. Like some will, their organs will liquefy while others will just slowly suffocate from the pathogen. I wanted to show that pathogens kill people in different ways.
Now that's a lesson. that you could teach kids, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a little less interested in the book now. I sort of like the innocence that my kids have, but.
I mean, I give you, there's a glimpse of hope for Miriam.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like she's going to make it.
Oh, good.
Like she's bouncing back. The fever has subsided.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
How long is this book?
1,812 pages.
Which you specifically did because it's your favorite war.
Yes.
That's neat. So Miriam is about to bounce back. So she makes it?
No, she didn't make it.
Oh, no.
She thought she was going to bounce back.
Uh-huh. And then what happened?
She kills herself.
Why?
Because I wanted to show that sometimes when people are bouncing back from horrible things, they can still suffer from crippling depression.
Oh, yeah. That's a lesson. It's a lesson.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's just do one more. Do you have energy for one more?
Yeah, sure.
And I know you wrote a seasonal children's book. It's called The Christmas Secret. And I was wondering, could you tell us about The Christmas Secret?
Yeah, The Christmas Secret. It's about Billy and Sally.
Oh.
They're two little kids. And it's the night before Christmas. They're super excited.
Oh, fun.
Santa's coming.
Yep.
And so they hatch a plan to hide and wait for Santa.
Oh, classic.
Yeah. So they go downstairs and they're hiding in the curtains. And then they hear the reindeer and they hear the chimney and there's noise. And then Santa comes out and he's got his big sack of toys.
Yep.
He puts it down and then he goes upstairs. And the kids are sitting there in the curtains. And they're peeking and they see the sack of toys, but they're like, Santa's upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes upstairs and the kids are like, should we go upstairs? Should we follow? We don't know. And so they wait and then they start hearing noises and just, there's it's very loud and rowdy upstairs. And the kids are just like, what is going on? I mean, right? They're going to wake up the parents. So the kids very quietly start to sneak upstairs and they go outside and the parents' room door is closed and they hear a lot of like a commotion going on in there.
Right.
So they stand outside and they're listening and they hear like, ho, 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 ho. And they're like, okay, well, Santa's definitely in there. Uh-huh. Like, I can't believe he's not waking up mommy and daddy. And then they open the door very slowly and they kind of push it open.
Yep.
And then Sally turns to Billy and says, kill me now. What I have seen, I can't live with. Kill me now. Billy, he's a little younger. And he's like, why? What? And then he looks. And then Billy says, oh, my God. And they quietly close the door. And they go back to their rooms. And they go to sleep. They don't even care about toys at this point. They're ruined. Emotionally, their lives their lives are essentially over. They will never get married. They will never have children. They will never look at Christmas the same way. Their lives were irreparably changed from that moment on.
The Christmas Secret.
Yep. The Christmas Secret. They never talked about it again.
What were you hoping to teach kids? I'm sorry. It's allergies. What were you hoping to teach kids with that book?
I honestly wasn't hoping. I wasn't thinking about teaching anything. I'd done a couple of hits of acid. And at the time it just flew. The words just came out. I was typing. The keyboard was talking to me. My cat, I understood to be the reincarnation of Muhammad. So like it was, it was just a weird, intense time. So just all the words flooded onto the paper.
Sure.
And then I got the publisher to just sign off on it.
Did you ever like read it? After you wrote it, like after you came down?
No. I didn't read it until the trial years later.
Yeah.
Because unbeknownst to me, it had caused a tremendous amount of psychological damage to children all over. It had been translated into numerous languages.
That's what a big publisher will do.
Yeah. I mean, even Korean.
Yeah.
Even countries where they don't celebrate Christmas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Weird.
Because kids wanted to know the Christmas secret.
They, yeah. And now they know. And it's just like, oh, and I'm in trouble. Okay. Whatever.
Right. The Christmas secret.
Yeah.
Okay. So would you recommend that people buy that book?
I would watch the movie.
Well, thanks for sharing your kids' books, Brian.
Yeah, no, I love writing children's books.
No, the kids are lucky to have you.
Yeah.
I mean, except for the ones who read some of your books.
Well, some people like them, some people don't. You know, it's like cyanide. You know, some people take to it, other people don't.
Nope. That's not a thing. Just so you know.
Like lupus. Some people are like, yes. And other people are like, no, thank you.
No. You definitely don't know this level of analogy. It's beyond you.
Botulism?
Nope. How about we move on?
All right.
Okay.
So here's this thing, and it's a little weird habit I've had over the years, and I've done it for a long time now. So the state comptroller's offices, they have what they call like missing money funds, right? So these are checks that were deposit checks that were put down for electrical prorated insurance payments that were sent. You close a bank account, but you know, 6 months later, some kind of interest payment comes in for it or some check or whatever. And so there's money that's owed you. Sometimes it's very significant. And for some reason, they didn't make it back to the owner. And so these checks, they legally can't go back to the company. They have to go to the state comptroller's office in the hopes that someday the check will be reunited with the person whose money it is. But so I developed this habit. So I would go to this one website I'd go to. I type in my name, see if there's anything, type in family members' names, you know, people I was working with, I'd punch in their names. And then whoever just happened to be top of mind that day. And I would do it every 6 months or so. And that, so I thought, okay, well, Christmas is coming up. Maybe people would like some money for presents.
It's a great idea.
Here's my Christmas present to all the listeners of Questionable Material. And just to give you an example of the money that's out there, I went around and I plugged in names of famous people.
And by the way, Brian really loves doing this. Brian would do this.
I enjoy this.
Back in the BS of A days when we worked together in 2012, he would just walk around to staffers and say, what's your name? What's your mother's name? And you would just plug it in and you found money for people.
Yeah, all over
honest
the place.
Honest to God, all over the place.
All over the
you
place.
You love doing
I
this.
I do. So with famous people, a lot of the times it's residual checks. So, you know, these were, you know, cause when you work in film, television, stuff like that, you get these checks all the time and you just, you know, sometimes people lose track of it. So Bill Cosby, America's dad. He's owed $571 by Walt Disney and Company.
Oh.
Yeah. Robert De Niro. He's owed a penny by American Express. He's probably not going to claim it. Tori Spelling is owed $16.26.
I don't know. Back to Bobby De Niro, though, for a second. Doesn't say no to movie projects. I'm thinking he might get that penny.
He might take that penny.
I think it's possible.
He'll take it up.
Okay. So Tori Spelling is owed how much? $16.
$16. But then she's also owed $1,784.95 by Tiffany and Company.
Oh.
So here's a case where she must have returned something to Tiffany and has a store credit, never claimed it. And then it winds up going to the state comptroller's office. So Tori Spelling, $1,784.95 is yours if you claim it.
Wow. And do you think, is there any way that she can get money back for what happened to her face?
She can get store credit. Arnold Schwarzenegger, $2.26 by Google Payment Corporation.
Oh.
And also $150 by Kiva User Funds. Arnold Schwarzenegger, again, 15 cents by You Promise.
You Promise.
Yeah.
Okay.
My favorite here. This is the most amount of money. This is the most money I've ever found. Steven Spielberg,
wow,
is owed $10,000.
Oh my gosh!
Reported by Bank of America, California.
Wow.
A guy named Glenn Beck used to have a TV show or something. He's owed money.
He's owed money.
Amy Mann from Till Tuesday. Voices carry, right? Oh. She's owed money. I'm looking out for everybody.
You're looking up Steven Spielberg, Glenn Beck, and Amy Mann.
I'll do anybody whose name comes into my head.
Oh my
Dom
gosh.
DeLuise.
Yeah.
Dom DeLuise is owed $1,165.15 by Screen Life. And he is deceased. Mm-hmm. So I guess his estate can petition for that.
Wow.
Christian Bale, actor, yep. $116.59 by Walt Disney again. Those Disney people.
Man, their stock is going to plummet after all these actors come and get their money.
Gary Busey. Oh, it's a penny. Never mind, Gary.
Oh, he could use it.
He could use a penny.
That's a penny.
Ivanka Trump.
Oh, I've heard of her.
Owed money by Baccarat, which is they sell expensive glass things, and Tiffany & Company as well. Oh. So Tori Spelling and Ivanka Trump both owed money by Tiffany. Bernie Sanders is owed over $100 by Graham Holdings Company. So get that money, Bernie.
Well, that would be great. And then maybe he could take his paws off our money.
Right.
Okay.
Scott Baio, who follows me on Twitter, by the way, he's owed 2 cents by the Walt Disney Company.
Wow.
Yep. Nancy Pelosi and husband Paul owed $1,220.68 by Great Pacific Insurance Company. Anthony Hopkins, my favorite about this, so he's owed $462 by EP Talent Services, so that's like a talent residual. Or but his company is Cannibal Enterprises Incorporated.
That's fantastic.
Which is hilarious.
That is so funny.
And then Brian Stelter, do you know who he is?
I've heard of the name.
He's a CNN guy. He's got a show on CNN. He's owed money by Time Warner Cable.
I didn't think they gave shows to guys named Brian.
They do, and then they take them away.
No, oh, weird. So to personalize this, and I really do encourage people, it's so much fun to go on and do this. We did it around my office a week or two ago, and I mean, it stopped traffic in our office. Everyone was obsessed with it, looking at each other. The hosts of my show, all three of them were owed money. The executive producer of the show is owed money. I, of course, looked. It's so fun to look up yourself and your relatives. I found my grandfather.
Wow.
So I have money. He passed away in 2002, and he is owed money. So I have money out there. That's technically my dad's money. We have money out there. It's so fun.
Yes.
People should go onto this website. It's crazy. There's money just sitting out there for you.
So here's what you do, listeners. You go to missingmoney.com. Mm-hmm. So that's the website that aggregates a lot of the state comptroller's offices. And I'll put this all in the show notes too. But missingmoney.com aggregates most of the states that sign on. There are some states that just, they don't sign on. They do their own thing, but they have their own comptroller's office, mm-hmm. which you can actually access through Missing Money. They have a map and they'll show you. Yep. So like California has their own, their search engine. Georgia has their own. Pennsylvania has their own. But most of the states are subscribed to missingmoney.com.
It's amazing.
Totally legit. There's no catch. It's actually just money that's owed people. And it brings me great joy.
I know it does.
And I actually, if anybody does find money, I would love to hear.
Yes.
Just email us on the show because I love that.
Well, let's at least get something out of the show since we're doing a service to tell people what our website is and tell them how they can reach us.
Contact at qmpodcast.com and let us know if you have any luck and if we got you Christmas money.
Yeah. QMpodcast.com.
Yeah.
Also where you can link and read our show notes.
Yeah, you can read the show notes. I'll put the link to Missing Money there, even though it's just missingmoney.com.
Yeah. And this is all, we do a lot of fake, silly stuff.
Yeah,
on the show.
But this is actually true.
This
is a true moment.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, I know all of you have paused our podcast. This is probably bad for our ratings. I don't know if there are ratings. But you're going to pause this so you can go online and see if you have money owed to you. And I bet you a number of you will. Yes, how cool.
I know.
Let us know.
That makes me happy for some reason.
Okay. I'm excited, Brian.
Why are you excited, Jack?
Because it is time for our interview. And just in time for Christmas, we have someone who's come down from the North Pole itself. Santa's right-hand man, or I should say his right-hand elf. Gumdrop the Elf.
Gumdrop the Elf?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. He's going to be on the show in like a minute. And we can talk Christmas. We can ask him all the questions we've ever wanted to ask about Santa Claus and how they make toys and how they deliver them all this stuff. I'm so excited.
Hello. This is he. Uh-huh.
Who is
it? The Buttigieg campaign. Hold on. Well, how many do you need? Wow. How many do you have? Really? Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Oh, my God.
What?
I got to go.
You have to go. We have to go where?
I told the Buttigieg campaign I would find them some black voters. They don't have any.
What?
They don't have any.
They don't have any?
They don't have any.
There's not a single black person in America who's going to vote for Buttigieg?
Apparently not.
Wow.
And
I've heard that.
I had promised that I would help them find some.
Why is that your job?
I resonate with the black community.
What?
I was listening to Public Enemy a long time ago, Jack. So, the Buttigieg campaign needs my help. They saw me as somebody they could work with, as kind of like a liaison. They're like, we don't know any black people personally. Mm-hmm. Brian, do you know any? I'm like, yes, I do.
Yep.
What do you need? They're like, well, could you talk to them and ask them if they would vote for Buttigieg?
This is a really long way of saying you're not doing this interview.
Yeah.
Okay. How many black voters do you aim to get, let's say, by the end of the year?
I mean, if we're lucky, we can get 18, 19, something like that. I don't know.
That'd be big. Okay.
I can only try.
You can only do your best.
Yeah.
Well, you're a lousy co-host for a podcast, but good luck with your weird volunteer job.
Thank you, Jack. Sorry.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jack. Don't be mad.
I am mad.
Ask a lot of questions.
Always great advice. Thanks so much for that. Sorry about that, everybody. My first and only guest today is one of Santa's most trusted confidants. He is an expert in all things North Pole and all things Christmas. Any question you've ever wanted to know about how Christmas happens, how it gets made, can be answered by my guest, Gumdrop the Elf. Gumdrop, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jack. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, buddy.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, Jack.
Oh, thank you so much.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. So I was wondering, what is it like being an elf in Santa's workshop in 2019?
I wouldn't want to do anything else.
Oh.
It's like elves were made to work for Santa.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's...
Like they were biologically engineered in a laboratory to work for Santa.
Yeah, almost like...
Like they were cloned specifically to work for Santa.
Oh. This isn't like a cute analogy. Is this...
Oh, no. We were made to work for Santa.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Santa's up there playing God?
We are created in a laboratory, Jack. That's correct. Yes.
How does he do that?
Well, with a little bit of trial and error.
Oh, gosh, that's a...
Every once in a while, there's an elf with three eyes or four legs or one lung, and Santa's got to throw that elf out and start all over again.
Throw him out? You mean send him to the toy...
Incinerator.
Oh, that's kind of... That feels a little grim for Santa.
Santa's used to it, Jack. We're elves, after all. We don't have souls.
I'm sure that's not true. I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure it's true because Santa tells us every day. We don't have souls. We are created in a lab.
Well, you seem like an awfully sweet fella. It seems like you have quite a jolly soul to me.
I was made to be sweet. Literally. Because when Santa's hungry, guess what he eats?
Candy canes?
Elves.
Oh, no.
He harvests us.
So you're not only a workforce, but also a food source?
Exactly. You can make lots of elves from one clump of stem cells.
Oh, okay. Where do the stem cells come from?
Planned Parenthood.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes sense. That's definitely, if I needed stem cells, that's where I'd go.
That's where you go, Jack.
Huh. Okay. Wow. Okay. This is not at all how I expected this to go. So do you enjoy your life up there as Santa's? Are you allowed to leave on your own?
No, we'd burst into flames, Jack.
Do you think
Santa says we'd burst into flames if we were to leave the North Pole?
Oh. Now I'm confused because you're sitting here in my home.
Yes.
That's definitely not in the North Pole.
Good point, Jack.
What's a work day like for an elf?
Well, the buzz alarm goes off at 4:30, Jack.
Uh-huh.
And then we go to food place, and then we go to workplace, and then we go to food place, and then we go to workplace, and then we go to food place, and at midnight we go to sleepy poops.
And then you get 4.5 hours of sleep, and then you do it all again?
Yes, we do, Jack.
And what do you do on the weekends?
There are no weekends in the North Pole, Jack. Santa said so.
Okay.
There's only Monday through Monday.
So you just work every day of your life for 19 and a half hours a day.
That's right, Jack.
Okay. And are you happy with this?
Let's talk about making toys.
Okay, let's. How do you make, you know, I've always wondered, I sort of get how you would make old-fashioned toys like a train, you know, out of wood, but I don't necessarily understand how you make modern toys like, you know, electronics.
Well, that's easy, Jack.
Oh, how so?
Filipinos.
Oh, is that a type of elf or?
No, they're from the Philippines, Jack. We bring them over here under the guise of working, and then we take their passports so they can't go home, and then they work for us and make electronics, Jack.
Oh, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that story. Okay, so that's how you make the electronics. Okay, that's how the toys are made. So the thing I've always wondered is about the naughty nice list. How does Santa keep tabs on everybody in order to keep that up to date and accurate?
Well, of course, Jack, that requires a massive amount of surveillance.
Mm-hmm, I guess so.
So over the years, and Santa's been around quite a long time, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's developed a very sophisticated surveillance program that really penetrates every aspect of a child's life. And we do traditional surveillance, such as the stalking you in the shadows kind of surveillance. Yeah. And then we have more modern electronic surveillance methods, Jack, such as listening in with microphones and hidden cameras and intercepting mail and communications.
Wait, Santa goes through our mail?
Oh, absolutely. How else do you find that somebody's naughty or nice?
Well, if the parents say they're nice or maybe a report card or something. I don't think you need to go through the mail or take pictures of people.
Well, it's a price you pay, Jack, for free toys, isn't it? So if you get a free laptop from Santa Claus, shouldn't you expect that the people who gave you that laptop might be able to read the messages on it? And Jack, what about something like Alexa? You think that microphone doesn't go directly back to the North Pole?
Oh my gosh. I guess that makes sense.
And that pretty little dress that your wife got, you don't think the button in that might have a little bitty camera that transmits video back to the North Pole, Jack? To an incredibly large data center that amasses information, yottabytes of information?
I have never really thought about it. I just thought it was a cute little list. I didn't think there was a real price to pay.
Well, Jack, one of the biggest lessons you should learn from Santa Claus is nothing's really for free. Look at Facebook, Jack.
Okay.
It's free, but they take all your information, don't they?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, then. Well, your dolly's free, right?
Yeah.
But she's got a microphone in her nose.
Huh. And what do you do with this information? Does Santa solely use it for naughty nice purposes?
We have information sharing agreements with other countries, Jack.
With other countries?
Yeah.
Like who?
China.
Why? Okay.
We don't ask questions, Jack, but China pays an awful lot of money to know who's naughty or nice.
and China, what do you get in return from China?
Money, Jack. And that's what makes the North Pole go around.
Huh. I thought it was like the magic or laughter that made the North Pole go round.
Laughter's a nice noise, Jack, but
I guess the laugh at the end, I guess, is kind of disarming. I'm not sure I want China to have this information. Is there a way you can opt out of Christmas?
Sure, Jack. So, but to be quite honest, we have our fingers in a lot of pies. You don't think Hanukkah candles have microphones inside them?
No, I do. Well, I do now. So, okay, this has been what's the relationship like with Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus? Because, you know, she doesn't get a lot of press.
Well, Jack, Santa has an understanding with Mrs. Claus that Santa has a lot of needs that Mrs. Claus just can't address anymore.
Like, what was it? Like, taking out the inseam in his pants and loosening his belt because he ate too many cookies and something like that?
Oh, Jack, you can't be that naive.
What? Then what sort of needs are we talking about?
What do you think would motivate somebody to travel all around the world?
The smile of a child on Christmas morning.
Oh, sure, Jack. That's what it is.
Well, what is it then?
What do you think it is, Jack? Use your brain.
I've only been told one thing for 45 years, that it's the joy of Christmas. What are you saying it is?
Is that what it is?
Okay.
How can you be so naive, Jack?
All right, enough. Don't make it personal. Gonna be
cooped up in the North Pole all that time?
With his freaking wife. I assume she's a sweet, gray-haired lady.
She's great. Yeah, she's great.
Okay, so he goes around having consensual sex on Christmas Eve? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Jack. Santa comes but once a year. But when he does, look out.
Oh, boy. Okay. I'm telling you, Gumdrop, I'm glad you're here, but you're kind of ruining Christmas for me. So Santa is celibate for 364 days, 365 on a leap year, days a year. And then one night, he just goes to town.
Yep.
Okay. Welcome, Drop. Before I let you go, are there any other secrets of the North Pole that you think would be relevant for our viewers to know about?
Well, did you know, Jack, that the North Pole has no penguins?
Huh, I'm not sure I heard that. Why is that?
Because Santa's an avid hunter.
No.
Yeah.
And he hunts penguin?
Down to the last one.
And that's all he hunts, is penguin?
Well, not anymore. They're all gone.
So what does he hunt now?
Fugitives.
Fugitives? What, like escaped convicts? Like the...
More like escaped elves, Jack.
Oh, gosh.
Santa gives them everything. Life, housing, employment. And to reject that? Well, I have no respect for someone like that, Jack.
Okay.
Someone like that is a bad person who needs to be sent to the bad place.
Where's the bad place?
Where Rudolph went when he wouldn't get in line.
Where did Rudolph go?
Oh, it all went to his head, Jack. And then it went to his head, if you know what I mean.
That's all the time we have for Gumdrop the Elf. Nope. I'll be polite and say thank you for your time for being here.
Thank you for having me, Jack. And don't forget to have a merry, merry Christmas.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I don't celebrate that anymore.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, okay, and to you. That's all the time we have. Oh, stop it. That's all the time we have for our podcast today. I hope you had fun listening. Please be sure to go out to our website, qmpodcast.com. You can subscribe. You can read our newsletter, show notes, all sorts of fun stuff. And please tell your friends, post about the show. Let people know if you think this is funny. Please let them know there's a funny podcast out there. Spread the word. That's the only way this thing is going to get bigger. And the only way Brian will ever stop leaving me to do these awful interviews with people like Gumdrop. Thank you for listening, and